Turn your Bibles to the book of Leviticus, chapter 18. I think this will probably be the third message this year that I preached from this passage, starting with this passage. We're going to begin reading in verse 20 again. He says, "Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire of Moloch, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not lie with mankind, as with womankind. It is abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith, neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these..." I want you to notice this. "In all these, the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you." Now, let me stop here for a moment. Some people think that in the Old Testament, God basically was dealing with just Israel. But there are things that God deals with nations about, whether they be godly or ungodly nations, whether they be totally pagan, heathen, totally different religion or whatever, that God deals with those nations about. He's not blind to what they're doing. And you can count on it. Whatsoever a man soweth, saved or lost, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. There are consequences for everybody on the planet who walk contrary to God's word. God has revealed very clearly the things that are sin and wrong. And when man violates that, he is walking on dangerous ground. Now, they think because God doesn't drop a 10-ton truck upon him right away that God is not paying attention. No, he's paying attention. He's keeping count. And the time is coming when judgment is due. Now, he's warning Israel in this passage. But if you notice the passage here, he says, "For in all these nations..." And all these, the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. The reason God gave them that land was because the cup of iniquity of those people was full and God was kicking them out. When Israel ends up turning to the same thing, God ends up kicking them out. So pagan, heathen, Jew, or professing Christian, there's judgment when you walk contrary to God's word. You can count on it. He says in verse 25, "And the land is defiled. Therefore, I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it. And the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants." Now, notice that. The land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. "Ye shall, therefore, keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled. That the land spew not you out also, when ye defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore, shall ye keep mine ordinances, that ye commit not any one of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that ye defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord your God." Let's pray. Father, I do pray you'll take this time to deal with our hearts, challenge us. I believe, Lord, that you still have a desire to grant a revival. And I'm not just talking about America. It's really wide open for anybody in the world who will get right with you. So, Lord, I pray that you deal with your people tonight. I pray as the message goes out over the internet as well, that you'll deal with people that are listening. May they understand it's not a matter of what denomination they're of, but it's a matter of their relationship to the God of heaven and his word. So, Lord, speak to hearts tonight. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've paid any attention at all to the weather in the last few weeks, you'll know that over on the left coast, they have had a tremendous heat wave. A heat wave up and down the entire coast, not just California, not just Oregon, not just Washington, but even up into Canada. They were running temperatures of 110 and higher. I'm not talking about from the thermometer they put in their mouth. They weren't running that kind of a temperature. I mean the weather temperature. And it's interesting how the news media reported on this. As a matter of fact, one British news media and also the Canadian press said that this was a once in 10,000 years event. Once in 10... You don't think anybody was exaggerating, do you? Once in 10,000 years event. Now, CBS, by the way, in their article on it, they called it once in 1,000 year event. So they need to get together, these news media do. They were a little off there somewhere. Now, normally, as you know, CBS or any of the American news media, Weather Channel, whatever, they come through, they hype up this stuff so much, they want people living in fear. So I was shocked that CBS was so mild to say what they said. But in 2020, besides the pandemic, there were a number of weather-related events. 21 of those events were called by different news media organizations apocalyptic. And I'm thinking, man, you've never read Revelation chapter 6, and you've never read Revelation chapter 19 or chapter 18. These people don't have a clue. They throw around terms like apocalyptic. Do you realize in the book of Revelation, there are times when over 1 billion people die? When 1/3 of the world is dying in an event, you're talking about 2 billion people. They don't have a clue what apocalyptic is. And we seem to recover pretty quick on most of those things as well. We've heard the dire predictions of global warming. In the 70s, it was global cooling. Those of you who've been around for a while, you remember they were starting to try to scare people there about global cooling. And then it became global warming. And the global warming thing came about, not just warm in one place, but global warming. And boy, if the temperature just goes up 0.5 degree worldwide, will our coast will change. All the cities that are on the coast are going to be underwater. And they got it all from areas where nobody even took care to make sure that the temperatures were accurate. So they finally realized, hey, you know, that's not what's happening, because you go the first 5 to 10 years here. In the 2000s, and we went back to a global heating, but that presented our global cooling again. But that was a problem for them, because they had said before it was global cooling. Now they say it was global warming. And so what do you repeat now? Climate change. So that you've got scared about climate change, which if anybody just thinks about it is nonsense. Climate changes every day in some places and every year. It's never the same. When on the weather stations, they show an average temperature for this month. But then they also show the highest and the lowest for that month. You know that the weather's always just been changing. It's what it does. But they've got you scared to death and me scared to death about that. In 2008, ABC began hyping the documentary Earth 2100. Which predicted that by 2015, get this, 2015, off in the far distant future, by 2015, New York City would be engulfed by water. Flames would cover hundreds of miles. A gallon of gas would cost more than $9. A gallon of milk, $13. Now, obviously, that those figures were wildly inaccurate, because they were based on bogus science, as most of this nonsense we hear is exactly that. New York City is not covered with water. Flames cover nothing. Gas is $2.75 a gallon, somewhere around in there. And milk is $3.39 or something like that. 7 years later, the network quietly ignored its horrible and accurate predictions about 2015. When it comes to global warming claims, apparently results don't matter for ABC. But then, in 2006, the inventor of the Internet, Al Gore, promised everybody that if the world doesn't come together right away, that by January of 2016, the world will end. I'm going to tell you, these people are as crazy as the folks who predict when Jesus is coming back. They are nutty as a fruitcake. But I'll tell you, it helps the liberal leftist agenda to change countries politically. That's the only reason they give it an ear. And the weather channels got us so scared of everything, they start naming tropical storms, and it won't be long. And they cover, by the way, subtropical storms. You know, there have been storms for a long time on this planet. There have been big storms for a long time on this planet. So, in spite of the fact that the climates always change, what about changing what's causing the problem? The problem's not factories. And although, yes, I agree with you, plastic is a problem. But not the plastic that's flowing down the rivers of the United States, because it's not. It's flowing down the rivers from China and Malaysia and Indonesia. They're the ones who are dumping it into the ocean, but America is supposed to be the ones to pay for it. I'm getting to a message here, but I want to make a point to begin this thing. What is the problem? The world's got it all wrong. God tells us what the problem is. Why are there such great catastrophes that are taking place? And I believe the answer is man's sin. As the world gets worse exponentially, part of that is because, of course, of the Internet being so prolific. It has become the new Tower of Babel, where in every country we can all speak the same language, because you put it in your language and the Internet can translate it for everybody else to be able to read it. Now, that was the problem with the Tower of Babel. Once everybody was able to get together, there'd be no end to the wickedness of mankind. Well, that's where we are at, thanks to the Internet. But let me remind you that long before the population ever reached 1 billion, there were earthquakes, there were hurricanes, there were floods, there were storms, and there were extremely severe storms. Now, for instance, let's take the wickedness of mankind way back thousands of years ago. And God sent a flood. And he sent a flood because of the wickedness of man. Now, what's amazing to me is that we have Christians today that try to explain away Scripture's rigid instructions because of the culture. Well, our culture is different today. No. Our culture is as wicked as any culture has ever been. And God has not changed. So the reality is, as man gets worse, the weather's going to get worse. God's going to make sure that it gets worse. As he told Israel, that even the land itself would spew you out. Reality is, mankind makes the world sick because of its sin. Now, who would have thought it'd be easier to pass some laws on all kinds of things, on factories and taxes, and man, we can even sell you carbon footprint credit. I still don't get that. If we're leaving such a terrible carbon footprint, why would you sell more to people? You just think about these things. But Noah, dealing with the iniquity of man, the scripture says this in Genesis 6, 5 and 6. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. God does not go without responding to man's wickedness. And he used weather to destroy a world. God is still holy. God has not changed. And sin must be dealt with. Do you realize that millions of men died? Women died? Children died? Because of the wickedness of mankind. The animals died. That's why Peter doesn't like God. In Genesis chapter 19, you've got the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. But way back in Genesis chapter 13, when Lot first went to Sodom and Gomorrah, I want to remind you that God said, and the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners exceedingly. And in Genesis chapter 19, God makes it very plain that those cities were going to be destroyed because of their sin. And so he sent down fire and brimstone and he destroyed them. That was a weather event, by the way. He used weather to destroy them. You get into the book of Exodus and you've got, of course, Egypt. They had treated Israel as slaves, would not let them worship the true God of heaven. And so God sent 10 plagues. The water was turned to blood. There were frogs everywhere. Now, to me, that's one of the most amazing things. That whole story about the frogs is amazing. Imagine, now, you know, for a good old southern boy who likes frog legs and frog gigging, he'd have had a great time. But I don't know how great it would have been getting into his bed and having company with the frogs in his bed. And it amazed me. Pharaoh was all upset about it. He calls Moses back in, tells him to get rid of the frogs. And Moses says, okay, when? And the guy says, tomorrow. Tomorrow? Why would you wait till tomorrow? Why would you say, right now, I want them out of my bed. Get them out of here. They didn't do it. Gnats or lice, flies. And think, we have a cow practice practically. When one fly lands on a piece of our food, we're scared to death. They don't eat much. You're okay. Livestock, a grievous murrain came upon the livestock of Egypt. Boils came up upon the Egyptians. You know, something in the air, there was a problem. Thunder and hail, killing livestock, people and grain. It wasn't global warming, it was man's sin bringing all this on. Locusts destroying more of what they grew. Darkness upon the entire land of Egypt for 3 days. Death of the firstborn in Egypt. That was God's judgment on a wicked land who would not recognize and honor the God of heaven. In Numbers chapter 16, verses 31 through 35, you've got Korah and his relatives having a rebellion against the man of God, Moses. And so God opened up the ground and just dropped them in it. And gone they were. The Weather Channel would have liked to have that on the world's most viral videos. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, God promised droughts, plagues, pestilences, wars, and famines come by decree of God and because of man's sin. Now, I don't have any doubt as far as, to me, the pandemic, the virus came from a lab in China. Didn't come from a bat, didn't come from the marketplace. It came from a lab in China. Now, I don't have any doubt about that, but let me tell you why it came. Man's sin. Still a sin problem. You can get mad at the Chinese all you want, but I don't believe we'd have been touched with it if God's people been right in this country. Amen. But see, that's the last step. We don't want to have to change our lives. We're comfortable. And besides that, we're better than a lot of people. Because we're better than a lot of people, we live better. We don't do some of the ugly things that everybody else does. Therefore, we think we're okay. If they'd get right, then everything would be okay. No, sir. When we get right. In Revelation chapter 6 through 19, especially when you get to Revelation chapter 18, all those judgments that come upon the world come upon the world because of their rejecting Christ and their wicked sin. Every one of those judgments. God has used weather over and over again. Now today, when national calamities take place, at least in this country, and I'm sure probably some of the other countries, pity the poor preacher that gets up and even suggests that God did it because we're wicked people. And unfortunately, when some preachers do suggest that, they're so shouted down that the next day in the paper, they're apologizing for having said it. Well, I'm not apologizing for this message. Amen. The wickedness of mankind brings these things upon a nation and upon the land. Now, the passage we read today, it was a warning to Israel. Now, these horrible sins and more have been done in our land. I got news for you. Even the people that were in the land before Israel got it, with all their abominations that he mentions here, that he said they did, all those things are true in America today. Why do you think we're losing our freedom? God's not going to let a nation like that get by. We're still murdering a million babies a year in this country by abortion. We're still doing it. It hasn't stopped. A million a year. You talk about barbaric. I mean, we can talk about Chicago last week. 130 shootings last week. Chicago, Illinois. And that's just one of many major cities. Unrest abounds. New York City, they are criminal hangouts today beyond anything that's ever been seen in those cities. How on earth can all this be happening? Because we love our sin. In Romans chapter 8, verses 21 and 22, the scripture says, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Now, we've not fallen yet. But just like other great nations of the past, we will too. We just never thought it would be in our lifetime, did we? And I don't want it to fall all the way, but we've come down a long way just in the last 20 years. We are not making progress for good, only for evil. And wickedness seems to abound in power places. Well, what on earth are we going to do? The point of all that I just said is this. God judges sin, and he judges sin in nations. And yes, he uses weather quite often to judge sin. Great calamities. And these news media, as much as they try to build this up about global warming, it is not global warming. It is sin that is the problem. The solution isn't with the whole world, though. The solution is with God's people. Let me give you three simple points tonight, and we'll be done. Number one, we need to be reminded what God calls sin. He defines it for us. He defines it, and I want you to turn to it, even though you've seen it before, I know, and you've heard it before, but turn over to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. God defines sin for us. We don't have to guess about what it is. And he does it here in the New Testament. I just read Old Testament verses to get us started, but that's all right. All 66 books are the Word of God, and they are consistent. They don't contradict one another. What they do let us know is that God has not changed. He is always the same. But in 1 John chapter 3, look at verse 4. He says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. Now notice, for sin is. This is a definition verse. For sin is the transgression of the law. Now, in the book of Romans, we find that the law is good and holy. The law is right. The law is not bad. It's good because it shows us something of the holiness of God. And he tells us sin is the transgression of the law. So turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2, chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want to begin reading in verse 1. He says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, and the definition for that term is found in Romans chapter 1. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Is that not America today? Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds and reprobate concerning the faith. So he lets us know in this passage how wicked it is going to be in the last days. And his description of that is a clear description of today. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean Jesus is coming back tomorrow. He'll come back when he's good and ready. He'll come back at the time that God has already set. And he's not going to tell us when it is. It's just going to happen, period. And it'll be too late then to cry out. Now is the time to cry out to God. Now, when the time of tribulation comes, it's God's pouring out his wrath upon the earth. And how will it end? Well, we go over to 1 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 7. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. He says, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Now that's global warming. And the earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. Now notice what he says next. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation, and what? Because we know the end. We know how it's going to end. By the way, we knew Gore was wrong when he made his idiotic prediction. We knew that wasn't going to happen. How do we know? Well, because there's a rapture that has to take place, 7 years of tribulation, and then a 1,000-year reign of Christ. The world's not ending anytime soon. The world's going to be around for at least another 1,007 years. If Jesus came tonight, still got another 1,007 years before the new heaven and the new earth. I know that because the Word of God says so. That's not going to be a fun time, those 7 years, for those that are lost, missed the rapture. But we live in a God-rejecting, Christ-hating, biblically ignorant, flesh-feeding, world-loving nation. From the bars to the brothels, from the church house to the White House. How in the world do you think all this rock music and this dancing and nonsense in a church claiming to worship God that goes on? How in the world could they possibly think any of that is worship of the holy God of heaven? But there are a lot of people who have been so deceived that they think that it is. Why does it happen? Well, turn over to Psalm 2. I know I'm having you turn to a number of passages of Scripture, but we know this. The Scripture is the truth. Psalm 2. Amazing, amazing psalm. He says, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together. Notice, against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. You'll notice during the pandemic, the one thing they sure had to close down was churches. And they didn't just do it in America. They did it all over the world. They closed them down. So they're saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. And notice, shall have them in derision. All right, man wants to continue going his wicked way. And as he shakes his fist at God, we don't believe in you, God. We don't take your authority. We're not going to follow your word. We're going to do what we want to do. And God sits up there and gives you a little virus. Sets it free. And the world closes down. He doesn't need atomic weapons. He doesn't need big guns. He doesn't need an air force. Just think. One pestilence. And the world shuts down. I tell you, I think I'd be careful about what I'm saying to God. There's some of these guys, they get out and they'll shake their fist at God. Well, if you're really there, hit me and kill me right now. And if God doesn't kill them, they think that's proof that God doesn't exist. Well, he's too busy laughing to kill them. The stupidity of the entire sight causes God to laugh. I had a little brother. He was about 12 years younger than I am. And my brother Earl, when he was little, it was funny. I used to like to get him mad, and then I'd just put my hand on his forehead, and he's sitting there swinging, trying to hit me. And I'd just be laughing. That's so silly. And if he didn't hit me, he couldn't hurt me. And when man tries to strike out at God, he thinks he's so big and he's so tough and he's got all this alphabet soup of letters after their name. They think they ought to be respected. I got news for you. Stephen Hawking didn't know a tenth of what he thought he knew. He thought he was an expert on God. Well, he's found out. He knows a lot more about him now than what he did before he died. Proverbs 14:34 declares, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin, the transgression of the law, but sin is a reproach to any people. Oh, you can legalize sin, but it's still a reproach. Yeah, you can say, hey, this is all right, this is legal, we're even going to use tax money to pay for it. You can do that, but you're going to stand before God and give an account. There's going to be a reaping day and there's going to be a judgment day. You can count on it. All right, so it gets down to this then. What can we possibly do then, at least for our nation? The nations got kicked out of the land. The land spewed them out. Land ended up spewing Israel out. And as long as people are going to live in that kind of wickedness, it's going to continue to happen. Well, we've used 2 Chronicles 7:14 a number of times. Written to Israel, but I don't believe it's just good for Israel. It's good for anybody who'll do right. He says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Yeah, that means they have to turn from their gossip and they have to turn from their bitterness and they have to turn from their pride. They have to turn from their lack of mercy. They have to turn from their lack of judgment. They have to turn from their unfaithfulness. See, they got to turn from their wicked ways. We could mention the sin list of Romans chapter 1, or the sin list of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, or the sin list of Galatians chapter 5. Whatever the sins are, if God's people don't turn from their wicked ways. But he says, if you'll do that, he says, I'll hear your prayer, forgive your sin, and heal your land. I got news for you. As disturbed as I am about what is in the government of the United States today, they are not the problem. And I guarantee you, they are not the solution to the problem. Well, they just passed this law and passed it. No, that's not the solution. Solution is God's people. Instead of looking at everybody else's sin, look at their own and get serious with God and get right about it. That's what's needed. Now, until we do that, we can't claim the promise. Pray like Daniel. Turn over to Daniel chapter 9. Notice beginning in verse 4 of Daniel chapter 9. I love this prayer. Daniel gives us one of the best examples of how to pray. When God's judgment falls because of the wickedness of the land. Somebody has stated about this chapter that when Israel needed a hero, Daniel went to his knees. He didn't run for another office. He went to his knees. Notice beginning in verse 4, "And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments." Notice, you might underline it, "we have sinned." Man, he's getting right to the point. He's getting straight. "We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments." That's the problem. Right there. And he calls sin what it is in all of its terms. He says, "Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee. But unto us confusion of faces is at this day, to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore, the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him." Now, you notice Daniel includes himself in the problem. Did you see that? He's not blaming everyone else. He's got himself in there. "It's my nation, therefore it's me, we." Verse 12, "And he hath confirmed his words, and he spake against us and against our judges and that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth. For we obeyed not his voice." Notice, God is righteous. We are not. The problem is us. The problem wasn't the Babylonians that carried him off into captivity. They weren't the problem. The problem was us. You remember, for some of you old timers, there was an old cartoon that was in the funny papers, where the character in the cartoon by the name of Pogo said, "We have met the enemy, and the enemy is us." Daniel recognized where the problem lay. But in churches all across this land in America, very few dare mention it, that it's with believers who refuse to obey God's word. Verse 14, "Therefore, if the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, that hath brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and hath gotten thee renown, as at this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly, O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, Let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city, Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because of our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now, therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications. Cause thy face to shine upon the sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations. You see, Daniel's in the right place to get something done for the nation. And with his prayers, by the way, Israel's going to get to go back into the land. In verse 19, he says, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake. O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. Now, when he got serious, the amazing thing about this is that God sends an answer right away. God begins to move. It says in verse 20, and whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation, and then he informed him of what he was going to do. We have a God that still wants, he wants to hear that kind of prayer from his people. And it can happen, but somewhere along the line, I don't know if we're thinking that somehow, Lord, before we make changes, let's just see if we can pull ourselves out of the fire. That's not going to happen. That's just more stupidity. You know, one of the definitions of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Why not just turn to God and watch God do amazing things? But we have to get serious. Now, on top of getting serious about our sin, we also must get serious about what our job is. Now, with all the mess that's been going on over these last couple of years, and I see our country going down the tube. It's going to get real serious here. I mean, it's serious now, but it's going to get a whole lot more serious with our cities have become uncontrollable. Sin abounds. We've got people right now walking the streets who hate patriotic Americans and Christians. I mean, and they're walking in mass with all the arms and guns, and there's no police to stop them. Now, thank God we don't live in those cities yet, but once that's done, they will be here. That's what it'll be. What are we going to do? Well, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What are we going to do? Well, we better do the same thing that we were supposed to be doing before, getting the gospel out to everybody. That's our job. We've got to get the gospel to everybody because he's still not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So we have the responsibility of going and telling them. See, I'm not trying to get you fired up to run off to a special parade someplace. I'm not trying to get you to do that. I'm just trying to, let's get right with God and then obey God. Get right with God, do what we're supposed to do, and watch our God intervene in a powerful way. I believe he'd still do it. Well, the next weather event, we may find ourselves a part of. You know, in Jeremiah, twice God says, of his own people, were they ashamed when they committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I shall visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. So the truth is, repent or perish. It's time. Let's pray. Father, deal with our hearts. Lord, I realize there are a lot of things I'd rather preach on than what I preached on tonight. But we need to know the truth about your judgment, about your hatred for sin, about our disobedience, and about our responsibility. So, Lord, please, I pray tonight you deal with each of our hearts. That, Father, as the Spirit of God shows things in our own lives that are not right, God, help us to understand that we can dress right, we can talk right, we can look good, but have bitterness in our hearts, unforgiveness, lack of mercy that you hate, that we need to repent of. God, have your way in our lives tonight. I beg it in Jesus' name.